Yes.
Just for the fluoride.
Yes.
Yes.
Mine goes back and forth.
It's supposed to.
Oh, it is?
All right, we're ready to roll.
I'll call to order the Road and Drainage District Governing Body regular meeting. It's what is that, 20? We are still in the chambers. Those present are still present. With that, I'll ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the agenda. I'm ready for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Jones, seconded by Commissioner Cook to approve the agenda. Seeing no discussion, please vote. And that is voted in favor of 5-0, unanimous. I have no public comment. Item number two, presentation of a status of road bond project. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. You know, it's not too often this city has had a project as big as we're about to undertake to do the 266 miles of local roads. I've asked Mr. Adumois and his team to not only start with this presentation this evening, explaining how it's going to be rolled out, how the work's going to be done, the phasing, but I think it's important that on a periodic basis you all receive updates, whether we do them at a meeting so the public can, if they choose, see the recording, or we do it in memo where you at least get quarterly updates on the status of this project as we go forward, I think is going to be key to its success. In any way we can get the word out to our community members on that, on the project and how it's going, I think will also be key. So with this particular presentation, I'd like Mr. Adumois and his team to come forward, make a presentation to you, talk about how we're rolling out the project and how we're going to be getting started and going forward on this endeavor.
Okay. Before you do that, I think I'd ask the commission for consent that we all agree that it should be done quarterly, and it probably should be done in with the public so the public can hear it at the same time. Anybody have a problem with that, what I'm asking for? Mr. Yates?
That's fine. I agree.
Vice Mayor?
I agree. Can we have it more often than quarterly?
That's a question for the city manager, I think.
We can give you updates as frequently as you want. There might be a medium option, too, is you might have a presentation at a meeting on whatever the frequency, monthly, quarterly, every 2 months, whatever you may choose, because I think it's important for you guys to have a constant on where this is. We can supplement that with written also if you so choose.
I would like at that monthly meeting.
Where he makes a presentation, yes, updating on the status, yes, of the progress. If that's what you guys want, we'll do it. It's up to you all.
That's right. Go ahead. Go ahead. You still have the floor.
Any objections?
Okay, no, I'll ask for that. Any objections to what Commissioner Jones has asked for, to have a monthly presentation?
Me personally, it's not that I'm against it too much, but I think it's just things happen, you know, not as quickly as you want, so we may be having more meetings on this than we really quarterly. It's four times a year, and we can see where the direction is going in a monthly, but I mean a quarterly over monthly. I think it's just overkill.
The meetings would be quarterly, but we could have a monthly update.
Oh, okay. I get what you're getting at. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so monthly update.
So quarterly presentation, quarterly and monthly written update, right, provided to the commission.
Right. Mr. Yates?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just have a question when you're done with that.
You're fine with that, then?
I am
Vice
fine
Mayor,
with that. I
you're fine with, yes, that, then, Commissioner Jones. So we have consent by... Commissioner, now we have a question by Commissioner Yates.
Yeah, the only question is, and I think because the public is so conscious of this project, they're really anticipating it. Typically at the road and drainage meetings, we don't have a whole lot here, but the evening meetings of commission, we tend to have a great opportunity to get that information out. So I know that it's a road drainage district, but I think it's also a citywide project, and I don't know if we can maybe have that presentation at the evening meeting for the regular commission meeting.
We can do whatever you all want.
For that, just I think we'll be able to, there's usually more people here in the evening meeting, so.
So you're not only talking about having it at the regular commission meeting, but at the night meeting that we have.
Correct, yeah.
So the second meeting of the month is when we're when we're asking, and I'm seeing all nods by commission.
We'll be happy to do that. Just so you also know, we're going to have a constant updated website where we'll be doing both from our contractors as well as city staff where the progress is of the road. Of course, there'll be door knockers going out when we're doing certain things in certain areas and those kind of things, press releases, all those kind of things. All those are going to be captured on our website. We're going to have a special page, updates on the project as well. So we'll be if that's the commission's rather, we'll do it at the regular meeting. We'll do it at whatever the scheduled night meeting is, if that's your preference.
I believe that's what we're asking for.
That is good. Okay.
Being said, Mr. Adamois.
Thank you very much, City Manager. Good afternoon, City Commission. Before I begin, I'd like to say this, that almost everybody in this world is wondering when this project will begin. So we are here today to let you know when we are going to begin this project. When this road referendum passed November the 6th, we immediately went to work, talking about public works staff. That include going out there, assessing the road-related drainage pipes that need to be replaced. Our operations staff has been out there replacing most of these pipes as we went along. There were staff who were preparing the field quantification data and all that. It got to a point that we realized that as much as we know what we are doing, we think, you know, with the magnitude of a project of this nature, that we need to get some partner in there. And with that, we were able to bring HDR, and Gary Downing is the one from HDR who is helping us manage this project. It's a joint effort between city staff and HDR. The result of this working arrangement is that the cost of managing the project was reduced significantly. We've been able to make a lot of progress since we all started to work, since we put out the RFP to get this company. We've been working together, and the plan is as soon as coming, probably next week, we should be able to get a bid documents moving, and we should have the work going. With that, I'd like Gary Downing to come over here and give this presentation, since he's the one who is leading this project. We've been able to move ahead and work with him. The ideas that he's brought, the ideas that we have brought, and we are putting all this package together. So with that, Gary, over to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Branford. Thank you, City Commission. I want to give you...
Please state your name for the record, please. Sorry.
My name is Gary Downing. I'm going to be your project manager, helping the city facilitate getting your 266 miles of roads, drainage, T-swells, and anything and everything else also done in this area, and getting it delivered and completed within your three-year commitment that you made to your citizens in Northport. I'm with HDR. Also with me today, I've also brought Mr. Matt LaChance, who is part of my teammate. He is actually from VHB. We also have another partner with us on our teaming thing, which is Hyatt Surveying, who is actually going out and surveying to supplement your surveys, in-house survey services. And then in addition to that, with the City of Northport, not only are we working with Public Works, we're working PIO, procurement, purchasing, and the overall infrastructure team, including your data management, your GIS people. We have a team of about 13 to 14 people working diligently, integrated together, and working as one cohesive group to actually get this thing moving. One of the first things that you're looking at here on the actual presentation map itself is the pretty colors that you see, the red, the gold, and the green, particularly at the top is the three I'd like to call your attention to. The red area up there, north of I-75, will be phase one of your 2014 roads resurfacing project. Looking at 89 miles of roadway, there are several different aspects of the actual roads that we have in many different conditions that actually varies anywhere from just being more or less roads that you would actually end up just mowing because they're mostly dirt and deteriorated with no asphalt to roads that are actually being resurfaced and just milled and resurfaced. The red area represents an area of about 26 miles in and of itself, and that'll be the first phase, and that actually is scheduled to actually, we're completing our bid package on it right now, and that is scheduled to actually be advertised March the 27th, next month, and it will be back to the commission on May the 27th for award, and the contract will actually start. As we go through, I'll explain the different years and different phases that we actually have. The yellow portion, which is immediately in the far upper left-hand corner, that will be phase two. That is scheduled to advertise in April, and that is scheduled to come back to the commission in June of this year. And the remaining portion on the left-hand side, the green highlighted area, is actually phase three, and that's south of I-75, and that will actually be awarded in July. All three of these phases are scheduled to be bid starting in March and be awarded starting in May, June, and July, and all three of those will be completed and done by December the 6th of this year, completing your commitment to actually have all the roads resurfaced and done by the year 2014 for your first phase. This is actually a breakdown of that schedule that you're actually looking at, what I just recently mentioned to you. As you can see, the construction will end December 6th for the third phase. Now, during this area and throughout these areas, we have several different actual added values and benefits that the City of Northport is going to be looking at that we'll talk about later. Going back, do y'all have an actual hard printout of that color-coded version? Yeah, okay. Good, because if you got that, that'll be great, so I can actually help follow along. When we actually start talking about the year 2015, which is not color-coded yet, let me see if I can go back up here, and then we'll come back to 2015. 2015 is the areas that you actually see, which is below the red, and actually comes all the way down to this portion through here. On your map, you can actually see it more clearly. It's colored marked out for you. That's your second phase of your 2015 segment. And then your final phase for 2016 is the red portion, which is way over here on the far left. Let's walk through your activity schedule as we actually have it laid out. And we broke it into phases for primarily two different purposes. The first purpose was to actually get it expedited out there, break it into manageable chunks so that you can actually get more competitive bidders in terms of contractors for asphalt paving and resurfacing. By doing it in smaller segments, 29 miles versus trying to bid all 89 miles, we can control it, and we can also enhance the neighborhoods, and also we can control the traffic coming in and out. We can have one phase completed by this time, the second phase is starting to get to complete, and the third phase, then we can move into segments. It works better for your community that way. When we talk about 2015, there are three phases of 2015, three phases of 2014, but when you get to year 2016, there is only two. Our current schedule that we put together with our diagrams and everything, and I'll briefly go into the methodology after we get through the phases, shows the end of 2015 being completed by summer of next year. That's May 30th of 2015. That will be approximately 6 months ahead of your schedule of your commitment to have all the roads, the 89 miles for 2015, done by December of 2015. Then, because the bond and the funding is already in place and we don't have to wait for the funding to go forward, we will then accelerate the 2016, which will then start in construction in advance of your fiscal year, and that'll be completed, if all goes well, by February 2016, 10 months ahead of schedule before your actual commitment to the citizens. By doing it this way, we should be able to recognize cost benefits. We should be able to see a continuous train of events that goes from beginning to the end. Now, one of the questions that actually comes up is, how do you get your 10 months out of 3 years, and how do you save that? What we actually did was we actually made some adjustments into the process that we actually have had, and we had a chance as your management team and as your management company, working with our partners and our experts, to actually look at how things were bid in the past. One of the things that was bid in the past was actually the paving and the drainage work was linked together. One of the issues you run into when you actually link your paving to your drainage is, well, you can't do your paving until your drainage is done. So you have a period of time where your drainage work is taking place, and you're replacing pipes and replacing swales and everything. Then you're waiting for that to finish. Then you're following with your paving. One of the things that was very beneficial to us is we looked at that, and we also recognized the fact that when you're actually doing your paving and your drainage linked together under a general contractor, the drainage work is actually done by a subcontractor, and you're paying overhead and markup. We looked at that opportunity, and one of the things that you have actually done and is already passed is you passed the adoption of the unit price contract and piggybacking off of the Sarasota County unit price contract. This gave us three local contractors that can actually go out there and do the drainage work, and actually now what you're doing is you're actually buying that work at wholesale versus retail. You're also buying it in sufficient quantities where you're getting considerable cost savings by the economy of scale. Also, it gave us the opportunity to mobilize three different contractors and to send it out and get this work done well in advance of the paving. That's one of the things and one of the initiatives and one of the approaches that we discussed with Branford and our team to actually get this thing moving forward. Although you won't be seeing paving actually happen until after the award, the first award in May, they will actually see people out there, pipes being placed and roadway work being done and the larger pipes and the guardrails and all starting in the middle of April. Now, one of the other things that actually became very related to this project was actually expedited permitting. We did meet with Southwest Florida Water Management District. We were able to have them buy off on our program and to make it where we actually do one permit per complete phase for every year. In other words, one permit per year for all the different roads. We actually used our surveyor to expedite getting the survey. As a matter of fact, we have already completed all the survey information. We're working closely with engineering from City of Northport right now to finish up the final sketches that we need, and our permit package is scheduled to go to Swift Mud on March the 14th and be completed by April the 14th. As soon as that permit drops and we've got it, then we're going right into work to do the replacement of the pipes and everything with your unit price contractors, and those are fixed fees. So it's not anything that will adjust up or down, so we know what the cost will be for that work. The other thing that we actually done, and this is where I actually have Matt LaChance with me today to even talk a little more briefly about, is the warm mix asphalt. And that's something that I want you to make sure that you get an opportunity to actually hear a little bit about. And we've already been communicating with Aaron Bryce from your PIO office. And this is going to be something that's really going to put you on the map. So let me give Matt a few minutes to talk to you about the warm mix asphalt. Then I'll come back and talk to you a little more about our commitments to the City of Northport to get this thing done.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, Matt LaChance with VHB. We're a partner with HDR. One of my roles on the project is the asphalt itself, to help develop the specifications to select the proper materials and things along those lines. One of our directives right from the beginning was to be as responsible with the money that you all have given us to spend, get as many roads done as we can, get them done correctly, and to make them last as long as possible. And we've done that through writing better specifications. We're going to be doing some training with the city staff for proper inspection. But one of the things that we thought of early on was to use, instead of traditional hot mix asphalt, to implement a technology called warm mix asphalt. Basically, it's exactly the same. We like to refer to it as slightly less hot mix asphalt. It's the exact same materials, the exact same job mix formulas and designs, but we simply use an additive in the liquid asphalt itself to allow for compaction at lower temperatures. With hot mix asphalt, traditionally you heat the material up to 300 degrees, which allows the liquid asphalt to coat the particles and allows you to get compaction. But one of the things it does as a trade-off is you're oxidizing that mix. So one of the little known facts is most of the aging that a road sees in its entire lifetime happens in its first minute of life as it's being mixed at the plant. Liquid asphalt is exposed to a lot of heat and a lot of oxygen, a lot of air, and it oxidizes and it loses a significant portion of its capability of lasting. So the technology exists that we can use this additive, and it could be an organic additive, it could be a chemical additive. There are methods out there like foaming. Water additives that are out there. So it's we're just looking at a technology, not a particular brand or product at this point. By doing that, we drop the temperature down somewhere between 30 to 50 degrees from that 300 degree baseline. So one of the things that you get is environmentally responsible at that point. We're burning up to 30% less fuel during the production process. We're looking at emissions reductions of up to 30% as a result. So you're being more sustainable. We can also introduce larger quantities of recycled asphalt product, we call it RAP, which is, when we go through and we mill off the road surface, we grind it all up and we send it away. What we do is we send it back to the plant, they process that, and we put about 30% of that right back into the road. When I say we, I mean your contractor. And that's being, again, in environmentally responsible. The most recycled material on the planet is hot mix asphalt, or now warm mix. But the biggest savings is by not oxidizing that material at the plant, you're extending the life of the road by up about 10%. And all you're doing is putting an additive in there that allows you to compact it at lower temperatures. So it's a great technology. It's, technology's roots have been around for about 30 years. The state has been using it for a number of years. The state has been permissive of it for a while, but only about 2% of the mix that goes down in the state of Florida is warm mix asphalt. And the biggest reason for that is cities and counties haven't been educated enough to even know the process exists yet, let alone buy into it. Earlier this year, we saw the very first ever required warm mix project. That was the city of Castleberry up in Seminole County. Northport is going to be the second warm mix required project. So it's, and what makes it more significant is Castleberry saw about 10,000 ton in their program. You're going to see about 400,000 ton in your program. So when you look at the savings in terms of fuel and emissions over the course of that project on that scale, it's significant. So and that's pretty much the rundown on warm mix asphalt.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Let's talk about the commitments. And as we actually started looking at this project, as Matt brought up, the first thing is our fiscal responsibility. We're your fiduciary agents. We're the people who want to make sure that you get a product that has the maximum value. And that's why we actually looked and introduced these cost-saving initiatives and put this plan together this particular way. The other thing is maximizing city staffing. We're providing primarily management and coordination of the permitting and the processes, the technical aspects, but we're actually coordinating with city staffing for the field inspection, the engineering, the procurement, the packaging, and pretty much working integrated within the city staff in and of itself, and also with your GIS staff. One of the other things that actually is going to come up is developing the long-term assets that City of Northport is going to retain even after we leave. What we're developing is we're developing for you a template. We're developing a program and a methodology. Number one, one of our aspects in terms of our management is our training. We're going to actually provide training for your staff that will actually qualify them as asphalt inspectors, and they'll be doing it the same way as anybody else within the state. The second thing is our specifications are going to be written specifically for your roads, for your additives and the way that you actually need to have. In other words, now the specifications not only will deal with, in an effect, the spec and the actual material that's being placed, but also the way that it's actually paid for. In other words, there will be penalties if, in fact, the road actually gets placed and it's not up to a standard. And, you hate to think about that, but there will be penalties for the contractor that actually keep him in alignment, but there will also be benefits. But in no way, shape, or form within your spec will you pay more than 100% of actually any contract price. And then also your permitting. Once we actually streamline your permitting process and actually get your T-swells through, going forward, any future T-swells you have will already be boilerplate with the Southwest Florida Water Management District, which will simplify your process as you all continue to administer your road and continue to do your maintenance, paving, and your other things that are going in there. Our biggest commitment is to get this project done, get it out, and have it done on time. And we recognize that our clock is ticking, and pretty much we've gone to work. With that, if you have any questions, either Branford or myself, we'll try to answer those. Thank you.
Questions from commission? I've got just a couple. I don't know who can answer the first one. I guess would be city manager. I'm assuming a couple of things here, but I take it TECO and FPL and all of them have been notified of our dates and such, just in case they have some type of project that would coincide with ours.
I mean, if they're doing a project in the same area where we're doing a project?
Same area and same time, yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously there are times where we have to do one of the, there's more than just them. There's Comcast, there's, you know, the Verizon and stuff like that. And part of the reason they become aware is through Sunshine Locates. But Mr. Adamois will talk a little bit more specifically to the actual process.
Okay.
Very good. As always, any time that we had done any road work, we make sure that the communication is in advance to entities like what you mentioned. So, yes, they'll be informed about that.
Right. With the three phases, is it still possible that you'd have one contractor that could possibly be the bidder on all three?
As three separate contracts.
As three separate contracts. Is that right? So you could possibly have one contract doing all the work.
Yes, sir, that could be very possible. If, in fact, he has adequate resources and can actually fulfill the commitments and the terms of the contract, you could very well have one of the major asphalt manufacturers, and there's three or four of them within this area. But it also opens it up for some of the smaller, medium-sized asphalt companies that are also regionally available here that could also be competitive. They have to be the most competitive, responsive, and responsible bidder.
It's one of the reasons we broke it down the way we broke it down is, A, we wanted to take advantage of in the phasing to have the potential for more competition on each one of the bids. More competition, in theory, drives the price down. But we also wanted to create a situation where it was more likely you would get the medium at least competing for those contracts. Whereas if you went out with the thing in aggregate, it's there's only a very small few very, very large companies that can handle that. Okay. So that was part of the intent, is to break it up that way for those reasons.
Yeah. Along with that then, if you had, say, three separate contractors on the, would that or could that change our dates any, where you could have two of those contractors maybe working at the same time but on different phases?
I'm going to let him speak more specifically to this, either one of them. But the reason why they pointed out the deadlines in there is because those are the deadlines, whether they're one firm or three firms. So there's an incentive for them to do it faster, regardless of whether it's one firm or three firms. But they're going to meet those dates, one firm or three firms, and face penalties if they don't, regardless. And it's phase specific.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is on the second phase, let me use that for an example, that you have a certain date to start that. But it's a separate contractor, so he could start that earlier. Would we want that to happen, or would we hold to say, no, you can't start this because we've got things to do?
It depends. It depends on where we're at in those phases, Mr. Downey.
Okay. I think what you're – let me make sure I understand your question. I think one of the questions that you have is, could there be a way that a contractor could accelerate a phase and start, like, perhaps what I brought up on my screen, and if it goes to the overall screen, is actually the map itself. The phases are actually broken to demographic areas, which are pretty well delineated in and of itself. So each contractor would be working exclusively in a different areas. Now, the actual phases that we have prior to the construction starting of the actual paving is the drainage work in and of itself, and that's actually completed well in advance of actually the asphalt paving. And then the precedent before the drainage work is actually the permitting. The permitting for the entire year of 2014 work, all the drainage work and all the facilities in and of their self, will be done and completed by April. That's not on this particular schedule. This was primarily the construction schedule. So you could potentially accelerate phase three. But because of the demographics and also being sensitive to the fact that neighborhoods and sensitive to the fact that you're going to be seeing a lot of trucks, we're trying to make it so you can actually see one phase done completed. And there will be some overlap. There is some overlap between one starting and then the other one starting a month behind and the other one starting. And then also there's overlap based on the actual process. In the first phase, we have quite a few roads that are actually going to be fully rebuilt. That's done by a phase, a process called full depth reclamation. Yes, sir.
And my last question was, I loved everything that I heard. The hair on the back of my neck went up just a little bit when I heard a warm mix, only because I'm not knowledgeable about warm mix. But when you said there's only been one other community in the state, we're going for such a large project that I don't want to be a guinea pig.
He said one other that has made it a requirement of the bid. It's been used lots of other times.
It's a tested product.
No. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was just a requirement of the bid.
Yeah, as I said, the technologies vary. There are three different methods, but they date back to the 50s. So this is not a new technology by any stretch. Pick one, whether it's chemical, foaming, or organic. But they're well tested. They're tried and true, and they're actually getting easier to use. And there's really nothing to go wrong with the technology. That's the beautiful thing about it, because if you don't get compaction, you don't pay for that road. And this is just a compactive aid that we're adding to existing mix. And as I said, hundreds of thousands of tons of each of these various technologies have gone down, throughout the country, quite a bit here in the state of Florida. It's just you're reaching the point here where we're starting to see hot mix asphalt start to leave, and warm mix asphalt will very shortly be coming in as the norm, because there really is no downside to this method. So we're just kind of jumping in front of the municipal market, where the state and the federal market has already latched onto this, and the only reason they haven't required it is because you can't make hot mix asphalt and warm mix asphalt at the same time. So if you're, as a city, going to require hot mix asphalt and the state is running mix at that same time, they're going to get the hot mix asphalt. If they're running by themselves, the contractor wants to give them the warm mix asphalt, because there is a significant savings in fuel and emissions and things that are important to them. So it's, as far as being afraid of anything going wrong, I'm going to assure you that, I've worked with this on a lot of projects for about 10 years now, personally, using all the various technologies available, and have not seen any failures. So.
And I'd like to say, Mayor, the city of Virginia Beach, where you are from, all the roads, that is what we used. About 15 years ago. All right.
Thank you. Excuse me. Need my speaker screen. Vice Mayor?
I believe Commissioner Cook was first, and then I waved after you.
Go ahead, Commissioner Cook.
Okay. When I first moved here in 2002, I lived way out by Haberland, and we had little shelf streets. And in the process of seeing different houses going up in the neighborhood, I also saw my streets disintegrate terribly. So my question is, once we, what is it called, repaving, refurbishing?
Yeah, it's usually we call it rehabilitation, which means that depending on the condition of the road, it has to be reconstructed, the base, or even the subgrade. So for the roads that are really bad, it's not enough to just fix the surface. Okay, we have to go to the bottom of the road and do isolated base repair and fix it, so that it will be able to withstand the right traffic, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't fall apart again.
Okay.
Right. And then there are some of the roads that the base is okay, but the surface is just not good, so we're going to just replace the surface.
Okay, thanks, because people ask me that question all the time. Okay, so the end of my question is, with these new roads, when the building boom starts again, and you know that we have one house built at a time, so we have one cement truck going in at a time, and then maybe the next block one house will go in. How will these roads withstand that kind of traffic?
So what we've been doing is since 2006, the roads that we fixed with actually in 2005-06, we put in a pavement management system. This was a computer system. We brought down a company. We did an RFP process. They tested all the road, the surface for the local roads and materials, what is below the road. Using that information, it tells us how to build the roads to withstand the current traffic and the current load. So all the roads that you see that we've been putting together, when those heavy trucks come, it's been designed to those. Of course, there's a limit to the load that the trucks are going to impose. One of the things we are looking at is having something, and I haven't talked to the city manager yet, but in terms of having other places that I've worked, you know, there are some rules in terms of what is the maximum load that you allow on your road, okay, so that we'll be able to enforce that. But the roads are designed to a certain load, and that is how we are building them to that load. It doesn't mean somebody's not going to use something heavy across the road or even the bridges, you know, but you wouldn't have the problem that we had in 2003, 2004, and 2005.
Just to clarify a couple other additional factors that will also improve the overall durability and the life cycle and the length of your roads, is the mix that you're actually going to is something that's been developed by the Federal Highway Administration called SuperPave. You're moving away from a Marshall mix that was developed in the 60s, 70s to a new SuperPave, which actually has a different matrix in a different way. That it's actually tested, compacted, and mixed to go in. The other thing that will also help and endure is, as Mr. Branford has mentioned to you, is that the maintenance program that you has actually started with the City of Northport, which will also be bid in conjunction with some of your road bond projects also. That's actually where you actually take a road that's been out there and been paved and resurfaced for a couple of years, and you treat it with a topical coating such as Reclamite that rejuvenates actually that roads. And what it does is asphalt life, as Matt explained to you, has a life cycle that actually starts at a peak and then starts to dwindle down. There's a certain range in between there where that when you actually start to get a certain point, that if you treat it with Reclamite, it spikes back up and gives you a lot longer endurance and a lot longer. And it's a maintenance type program that you're actually using in and of itself for the City of Northport roads. The other thing about the shell roads that are out there is the methodology that we're actually going to go to for, I believe it's a little less than 8.5 miles out there. North of the interstate, for those roads that you're talking about, that the asphalt is gone. It's virtually, it's a mowing street. It's not a paving street. That's where we'll actually be coming in and doing something called full depth reclamation that we can present at a later date and give you more details. And that'll be actually going in the first phase. That's where you actually come in and you mix a full depth of the entire road and you rejuvenate the base. You put a new soil cement binder within it, and then you create a good, solid, firm base. What keeps your roads up is, number one, having a good structure, and then having a good wearing surface and keeping that wearing surface from oxidizing. Hopefully that will answer your question.
Vice Mayor.
Okay. I just have a couple of questions. One is the job that you did last year on North Chamberlain. You guys are running a lot of equipment through that road right now, every day, like 50, 60 times a day with heavy equipment there. Are you going to still rejuvenate this road?
Yes. Good question. the work that you saw out there, it's what we call road remediation. Uh-huh. It's a program that we have in-house. And what that means is that since, for example, you have a road that you have so many potholes that if we were to go out there filling the potholes, we could stay there for months. Okay, so we bring our little paver and we put all the asphalt on top of that to help build a base, okay? Once that is done, the only thing left is to put a thin surface on that road. So the roads that you see, we had to build a base. If we didn't do it then, we would have done that as part of this project. So, you know, yes, we'll come back and put a thin, very thin, maybe an inch and a half on the surface to give it that riding surface. Because if you've noticed, if you've driven on it, it's not very smooth. So it builds the base, and what is left is to put a thin surface on that road.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So Chamberlain is not going to have the... You're going to grind it all up and do all that. You're just going to put a thin surface to even it all out.
Yes.
But then here we are again, because you are using that road at the very end for a lot of this construction. There's a lot of heavy-duty equipment that comes through there. Believe me, I know, because you go in front of my house. But that's what I'm trying to say. This is a year old. I mean, you did this road a year ago, and are we going to destroy this road while you're doing these other roads? Because then you're going to end up having, again, to put this thin base to level this road out again in 2 years, 1 year?
No. Any time that we've done any road, since I became a director of Northport, we make sure we build the road to the extent that those heavy traffic you are talking about will be able to withstand it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Chamberlain Road that you're talking about, we were able to build it from the bottom up enough that those equipment that are driving on it are not going to be destroying it like they used to in 2003, 2005, because the roads weren't put in place properly by general development. The base is bad. Roads, most people may not be aware, it's just like building your house on a poor foundation. What holds a road together is the subgrade, you know, and then you have the base. And then you have that thin thing that you see, you know, and once the base goes bad, everything on the surface goes bad. So all those roads that we've been doing, the remediation and also the road rehabilitation that we did by contract, we get the data from our system. It tells us how much thick we have to put it. The computer compares the heavy load that is going to go onto it. And then it tells us how thick we are supposed to put the asphalt. So we are not going to have those issues. We were mentioning with this program, one thing that the road bump project has done for us, okay, not only for the residents and our customers, is for us, it changes the game for us in public works because we are able now to put in a realistic road maintenance program, something that we've never been able to do, because there wasn't enough funding to even fix the broken road. So now we've come up with 7-year programs that every year we do a minimum of 30 miles by putting a thin surface on top of it. I liken that to changing the oil in your car so that you don't buy a transmission. So we have this program. Once we are done with this project, then there's this program that goes on, keeps going. Every year we do just that surface. And so then we wouldn't be spending all this money trying to build a road from the bottom up.
Okay, so since that road, and the reason why I say that, because that's not the only road. There's a North Salford that was refurbished, as you say, a couple of years ago. And they're great roads, don't get me wrong, because I drive down them, and I would rather take those than the other roads because my car falls into a large hole. But... they're done well, and I must commend you. What I'm trying to get at is, are we going to see, since we're not going to see the revitalization of those roads, the monies that according to this going into this, it's just going to be minimal compared to like Laurel, which is, you know, pothole after pothole down the road. So now Chamberlain and Salford is just going to be just a minimum surfacing. So the money that what I'm trying to get out, it can be pushed onto another road to refurbish another road.
Exactly. The roads that we fixed is 2006. We fixed close to about 250 miles of roads since 2006, and then we are doing 266. Those are the rules. Most of them were broken. By that, I mean the base is gone, the subgrade is broken, and no matter what thin surface you put on there, it's not going to help you. So since 2006, all those roads have been built in the base. So moving forward now, new day for City of Norfolk. All right.
Commissioner Yates.
Yeah, I think it was said before that the mix, warm mix asphalt's been around and tested for 30 years. Is that, did I hear that?
Yes, one of the technologies, the foaming method, has been around since its roots in, and I say its roots in the 50s, where it was originally developed from a university and then kind of slowly progressed its way through Europe and then, you know, now to the U.S. We're typically the last to embrace new technology like this, but so yeah, it's been around for quite a while. We later saw the paraffin base or organic additives. They don't require any modification to the asphalt plant, so those kind of became popular. And then in the last decade plus, we've seen the chemical additives really starting to be the big boom because they're easier to control. They're easier to add, again, right into the liquid at the terminal, so any plant can use it without modification. And, you know, the question always comes up, well, chemical always has a bad name. Most of these chemical additives are organic in nature. For instance, one of them is a byproduct of paper making. So it's a pine-based product. So, and they're all, you know, pretty inert when they're when they're done.
And in presentations we've had in the past, it's been said that, that the standard road lifespan is about 25 years.
Yeah, 20 to 30 years is about what you can expect with, and what I want to, you know, stress is with proper maintenance, you know, kind of like the changing the oil that Branford was talking about. So just because you build a road, you can't walk away from it for 20 years any more than you can, say, your house, you know, requires a coat of paint every now and then.
And you mentioned that doing the warm mix would actually extend the life of the road. So is it going to extend beyond that 25 to 30 years? And
yes,
if so,
actually,
how much life expectancy by using that technology could we, with the proper maintenance, seem, you know, to anticipate to get?
That's a great question, because one of the things that makes it so attractive for a municipality or even a state agency is with some of these we're projecting, and when I say projecting because the technology hasn't been around long enough, up to 10% additional life of the roadway. So you can extend that out, say, another, you know, 4 or 5 years. And we've got a lot of, you know, good research that supports that technology. We've got ways using what's called a pressure aging vessel or rolling thin film oven, where we can take that asphalt and in a 24-hour period expose it to oxidation that's equivalent to 20 years, and then test it for resiliency and things like that. So all the research, you know, coming out of all the national labs and universities, and in addition, the private research is really looking at up to a 10% increase in performance just simply by using warm mix additives.
So here in the U.S., I mean, do we have actually case studies and actual examples of those communities that have realized the extended lifespan?
Yes. The warm mix asphalt was what I worked for 12 years for the city of Virginia Beach, helped build their roads 1,300 miles. And that is what they used all the time that I was there. For the reasons that he's explained, we've not been able to use it here. But with this big project of that nature, for the companies who want this job, they will have to provide us with that asphalt. I'd like to add that the life extension of a road, the type of asphalt you use is only one factor. Okay, there are other factors like your road-related drainage. Okay, if you need to make sure the water is flowing away from the road and maintaining your drainage, the Texas wells that we are fixing, the pipes that corrugated metal pipes that GDC put in there, we are putting reinforced concrete pipes. All those help with the integrity of the road and extends the life of the road. So it could be 20, 25, 30, 35.
Okay, and just one other question on the color-coded map here. I can't help but notice that when you've got, say, phase one, 2014 in all three phases, there's a little pocket that actually goes back into that area in 2015 to just do that little cluster, and I'm just wondering why that's not part of that particular phase. So I'm looking on the left-hand side, just south of Tamiami Trail, where that whole green area is being done in 2014, but then, you know, as far as the road itself then is colored green, which when I look at the map says they're going to go back in 2015 and do that little area. Hmm. And then you'll notice the on the left-hand side for the year 2015, they'll actually go back in, and there's a little red cluster right in the middle of the green that they go back the next year. So I'm just kind of wondering what happened.
Sure that the, okay. Map is accurate.
I'm right. Sure there's a rationale, right. But
It's not how the project is going to proceed. Okay, what we are doing in the first year is what we are doing. It's probably when coming from the GIS and the data, because along with this, we had on this a seven-year program for the first 3 years, the maintenance. So when they are doing this work, we are going to be doing maintenance at the same time to cover those roads in that area that are not part of the road bond. So
Let me clean up the map.
That's going to be done in 2014, not 2015.
It's going to be in 2014.
Home. Yes.
Where it shows all the roads for 2014 is going to be 2014.
Okay.
Yes.
But you see the area that I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And then the same with the red and the green on
right.
The other side.
Right. We had a road maintenance on there. I think somebody forgot to take it off.
Okay.
Change the color or something.
I'll just have one quick question. The maintenance then that'll be done ongoing, will the what do you call it, warm mix then, is that what you'll be using also on our regular maintenance now?
Yes, the idea is for us to do this moving forward. Okay, you know that it's good. It extends the life of the pavement of the road itself. So the opportunity is there with this project. It's giving us the opportunity for the companies that will be dealing with them to say this is what we want. If they want a job, they're going to give us what we want. As opposed to before, there were some other bigger customers than we were, so they tried to satisfy them. So it's going to be what we do in the city moving forward.
Can I ask another question? Mm-hmm. Can I ask another
sure.
question?
Sure. Vice Mayor?
No, I just one question. The development of potholes, this material that you're talking about, will that prevent or it lessen the amount of potholes, or that's just something we're going to live with?
I know potholes will always pop up, but I'll let you know.
The reason is I broke an ankle right. In a pothole.
I'm going to try and keep this as brief as possible. But, you know, potholes happen from a number of reasons. It's usually a structural issue from a bad base because a flexible pavement can only flex so many times before it breaks.
Right.
Water gets into the cracks that are formed from that and pulls the mix apart. So one of these methods in particular, the chemical methods, are also anti-strip agents, which means that it bonds the asphalt to the aggregate better. So that actually helps resist potholes as a result. But the other thing that's going to protect you from potholes is we've designed much better specifications than what you've had in the past, mm-hmm. Which have performance standards mm-hmm. that's going to, you know, allow for a better built product. And we're also specifying more durable materials than you've had in the past. You know, using the, like Gary said, the Marshall mixes, the S1s and S3s, we're not as resistant to, you know, traffic loading as the super paved mix that we're specking out. So there's a number of things that we're putting in there to give you longer lasting durable roads because we realize the investment that's being made here and the amount of tonnage that's going out and the number of contractors. We wanted to make sure that there's good specs, good inspection, and good materials, and you're getting everything done, you know, the right treatment to the right road at the right time. Hopefully followed up by a good maintenance program that will, when those potholes will inevitably form, because they always do, get addressed early in life, because spending money at the top of the curve, that curve that Gary was talking about, it's about $1, you know, at the maintenance level of, you know, what we call pavement condition index of 80. If you wait till that road is broken, it's going to cost you 4 to 5 times that much, you know, per square yard material place. So hitting it early is key.
City manager?
So the commitment the commission has made to the maintenance program is what really should make the specs are important,
right.
Using the right material is important, all that's important. But if you don't then maintain the roads.
Then you're going to have the issues. Exactly.
So I think it's those things combined.
Do you know if they're using the warm mix material for Sumter that's being worked
actually,
on right now?
You know, I help Sumter. My firm actually helps Sumter manage their infrastructure as well, and we are using warm mix as a component, but it's not a required. So.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't see any other questions, City Manager.
Make this updated presentation a quarterly endeavor at regular night meetings, and we will follow up with monthly reports on progress that has been made.
Great, thank you. Item number three, consent agenda. Anybody want to pull anything? Seeing none, I'm ready for a motion.
Move to approve. Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Yates, seconded by Vice Mayor DeFranco, to approve the consent agenda. Seeing no comment, please vote. And that is unanimous, 5-0 being approved. Item number 4A, ordinance number 2014-01, second reading, amending Chapter 66, Road and Drainage District, Article 3, Section 66-47, 66-49, 66-52, and 66-55 of the Northport City Code. City Clerk, please read by title only.
Ordinance number 2014-01, an ordinance of the City of Northport, Florida, amending Chapter 66, Road and Drainage District, Article 3, Section 66-47, 66-49, 66-52, and 66-55 of the Northport City Code, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Commission. This, again, is a second reading of this item. It changes the frequency or when we initiate these particular studies. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but this is second reading.
Any questions by City Commission? Seeing none, I'm ready for a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 2014-01.
Second.
I have a motion made by Commissioner Yates, seconded by Vice Mayor DeFranco, to approve ordinance number 2014-01. Please vote. Oops.
Oops.
Need our voting screen back, please.
Okay, is that it?
Is that it? Was that the right one?
That's it.
Okay. That's approved, unanimous 5-0. Five, general business, submission of a transportation alternatives grant funding request to the Sarasota Manatee Metropolitan Planning Organization for the Biscayne Drive Bicycle Lanes Extension Project. City Clerk, please read by title only. Yeah, it's not an ordinance. I don't know why that's on there. This is general business. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, Commission. As you know, there are periodic opportunities for us to get on the out schedule for things like the MPO's project list. This particular project that's in front of you today for us to potentially submit to the MPO would be actually on their active funding for the 1920 schedule, 2019-2020 schedule. It is a project we've had on our horizon for a while, but this would be on Biscayne Drive, Bicycle Lane, and extending that project. This is the project we would recommend, and if you want more details on the project, I can bring up Mr. Adumois and his staff to talk about the project specifically if the backup wasn't sufficient, depending on your pleasure, Mayor.
Okay. City Commission, questions? Commissioner, Vice Mayor DeFranco?
I guess I was wanting to ask about this this project in regards to making the city a cycle-friendly city. I think currently we have wider sidewalks and no cycle lanes in the roadway, and that's the question that I'm trying to present. Are we addressing the issues in this project for arterial and collector roads for cycle? I guess roadway part of it, a little
Yes, ma'am. I'll do my best to answer that question.
Yeah.
I think that there's a couple opportunities to look at what the city commission's vision is for that going forward. I think this is an excellent time to have that at least part of that conversation. And certainly this makes an enhancement to bicycle lanes, but I don't think it's going as far as what I hear you saying.
Right.
There are requirements in our code now, which you may or may not agree with, that deals with arterial and collector roads and the width of the sidewalks. And Mr. Newman and Mr. Adumois in the coming months will make a presentation to you on price, and they'll probably hit me because I'm probably getting this all wrong. But, for example, if on an arterial collector the requirement is to do 8-foot sidewalks, that sounds good. And certainly on Sumter and Toledo Blade, it creates a nice environment. On price, I don't know that gives you then the ability to do bicycle lanes. So what you may want to consider is looking at, you know, maybe they're not that wide of sidewalks and you add 3 feet for bicycle lanes. And you could, through the process of your code and your project standards, particularly in your CIP planning, develop a standard that dealt with where we want to look at adding those dedicated bicycle lanes if that's a goal of the commission. It's not currently stated in the strategic plan as a goal specifically, but certainly reviewing your CIP is. And if that's a direction the commission wanted to go in, we could certainly look at that so that when you get to that first discussion on your CIP, you have some options in there for how we might go forward with that, if that's what the commission is looking to do.
Okay.
Did that help at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there current grants out there or bonds or any, I'm not bonds, but grants out there in regards to cycle-friendly towns? Because I believe I saw one not so long ago. And that's what I'm looking at is to I believe at one time we had these going through our city. They started on Sumter. When I first got here, Sumter had, and for some reason, they've stopped.
Yeah, you can look at Sumter, and if you come off 75 heading this way, you can see where there was some dedicated lane. But then at some point that stopped because, you know, they did that section first and then they went and did the section closer to 41 and that's got the wider sidewalks with no, and then that was continued on up to the end. So that you have that little piece. I don't know if there were any anywhere else or not, but they certainly were on Sumter. You're absolutely right. They had started with that. But that probably is a good, if the commission wants to lay out a vision for how we want to accomplish that, particularly on the arterials and collectors, gut intuition is I don't know that it's realistic on all the local streets, but we could certainly look at how when we're doing projects on those arterial and collectors, can we look at how that gets incorporated? That's certainly something.
Okay.
That having a commission vision on that so that we can use that as a basis is probably important.
But we would have to have another meeting on that alone to talk about.
I don't know about a loan, but it's certainly a funding issue and how we would incorporate those in. But I think getting a vision from the commission, is that something you all want to shoot for, is critical. So, you know.
Commissioner Yates?
Vice Mayor DeFranco, did I answer that question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, Commissioner Yates.
Pretty much my questions were along the same line because I don't think we currently have a comprehensive bike and pedestrian or alternative transportation master plan. So that's what you're talking about, city managers, is, you know, workshop or whatever type of thing that we can have to address that if that's the commission's desire to do that. And we can get started on that as soon as we want to, pretty much. And probably the sooner the better. Mr. Abnamar knows for 3 years now every time he's doing maintenance somewhere, and the question is there any room there for a bike, you know, bike lane? And I know the right-of-way areas has been the challenge, that we don't have enough room. But in deciding right now on when to put these bike lanes in, is this just something that's coming up on a case-by-case basis when we have different areas that we're doing?
And I'll ask them to come up as well and speak to it. But I don't know if Mr. Adumois wants to bring Mr. Newman or not, but that's up to him. But part of that is where there's continuity of projects, and then available funding. So this is an opportunity to get on somebody else's funding schedule to incorporate it in, so it would tie into a larger project. Mr. Adumois?
Thank you. And the response to your question is we've never taken a look at this. Okay, we've concentrated on fixing the bad roads, but this was an opportunity to get some grant money to just improve the bike lane that is already out there on Biscayne to make it better. But as with regard to this being a program for the city, it's never been done.
One other thing I just want to comment on, you know, when all the bike stuff really started as the city was growing, they had, and I remember it specifically, was Sumter. And they talked at that time, and engineering was involved, and a lot of input from citizens was to widen the sidewalks and use the sidewalks for bicycles, for pedestrian, for all those. And you can even see the signs that they put up, you know, yield right away and so forth. And since then, I've heard it change, because you had the casual biker that lived in the neighborhood that wanted the safe side of riding on the sidewalk, versus now we're hearing more and more from some pretty serious-minded bicycle riders that want to travel further distances and such, and they want the road. They don't want the cracks in the sidewalks, bump, 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 and so forth. So they'd rather have. So that's really changed, and I agree with what I've heard from staff that wasn't even looked at that time, because they were heading a different direction with the sidewalks. But I think we do need to change that now as we look at what the public's telling us, or at least what we're hearing lately. Anyhow.
So, Mayor, do we need to maybe give to? Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. Commissioner Cook.
And I agree with the mayor, and thank you for recognizing that times change. Mm. And there are other alternatives in the meantime that we can accommodate bicycles, as Mr. Christian wrote in to all of us. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should look at that. I don't have any idea about how much these projects cost, but it gives us time to put forward a vision, as the city manager mentioned. It gives us time to find the funding for widening the roads for the bicycle lane. So maybe we can look at those suggestions that Mr. Christian made in the meantime.
Yeah, you know, probably the ideal timing to do that will be in March, April, when we start to do our capital expenditures for the following year. Because I think one of the problems we're going to have, and the city manager just talked about that, was some of our residential streets that we're widening now. And some people say, well, now's the time to do that. But I don't think we're going to be able to widen them another three feet to be able to put now, price, yes, but I'm talking about just our regular residential streets to be able to put another 3 foot on that roadway. I don't think that's what we're talking about. City manager? Commissioner Yates, sorry.
Yeah, Mayor, I just wanted to ask on the points that you made before, do you think that this would be a good opportunity to give direction to have a workshop on this prior to the CIP, or... And
if we want to do a workshop, I'm just thinking that if, as long as we're giving direction to the city manager, I think we should probably wait until that time for giving him the city manager direction. I think he's hearing loud and clear what we're talking about.
Okay.
And I'm sure he'll say something.
Yeah, I didn't
he
know if we
when
needed
I speak
to,
for him.
So. I didn't know if we needed a consensus or whatever.
City manager.
I think what would be good, because, you know, is we budget year-round from a staff perspective. Without you all taking it necessarily a vote today, but if there is some general consensus that as we're bringing forth the documents to look at this year's CIP, we have the staff group that's working on making recommendations for the CIP. If you want us to look at opportunities, particularly with arterial and collectors, on how we might incorporate that in, getting that feedback today for Mr. Lear and the team would be very important. If that's something you want us to be looking at as we, because, you know, it's not going to be too far from now. We're sitting down in that first discussion, and we're doing the CIP fairly early on in the budget process. So, sure. Mayor, if there is a way to get some of that feedback today, I would appreciate it.
I'll ask for a consensus first. I'll try that avenue first to see if I can get that for the at least for the arterials and collectors that we instruct staff to, as they're putting the capital expenditures together, to please look at using bicycle lanes,
yes.
3-foot bicycle lanes. Commissioner Yates?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. So I believe you got a consensus to do that.
We will do that.
Okay.
You guys hear that? All right. It's getting towards budget time. He never smiles during budget time.
And with that, we're...
Wait. Do you need direction on this for the MPO? Do we need to vote on that?
I took you off the road.
Yeah. We got off track and we went all the way on the other
one. You didn't say adjourn. You just hit the hammer.
Yeah, I didn't. I just, somebody was talking. Danny was out there talking, so I was just trying to keep him from talking too much. Okay, so we've got this. We answered the questions. I'm ready for a motion.
I'll move to approve submission of the Transportation Alternative Grant funding request to the Sarasota Manatee Metropolitan Planning Organization for the Biscayne Drive bicycle lanes.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion made by Commissioner Yates, seconded by Vice Mayor DeFranco, to approve the submission of a Transportation Alternative Grant funding request to the Sarasota Manatee Metropolitan Planning Organization for the Biscayne Drive bicycle lanes extension project. Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. And that's been approved, 5-2-0, unanimous. With that, we'll adjourn. With that, we'll adjourn. With that.